Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We are excited. Kevin Glasscock is back on Hype Leadership Podcast. You may remember him from previous podcasts, Sales 201, Mastering the Intangibles, and The Journey Reward of Final Expense. Kevin brings a tremendous amount of knowledge when it comes to the final expense space, and we are super excited to unpack this episode today. So, Kevin, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. It's always fun. I'm excited to dive into some more sales stuff. We love talking about it.
We do. And I would say just our long history together, Kevin, it's been a journey, no doubt about that.
It's been a fun decade, which is crazy to say, but I would not trade it for anything. You guys have been phenomenal. It's been a fun time together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's cool that you say that. That really wraps into the last week's show we had with Chase and the gratitude for this business and the industry and the opportunity it provides for us. We have certainly walked that walk. And yeah, I'm excited to have you on, Kev, because I know the last time you may have been on, it was you and Lindsay. I was the third wheel hanging out. So I'm glad to be back with you because I know you're my sales guy. You are the sales mastermind. Really behind the Orca Life engine and the systems that we've put in place today. And really, I want to do a little more sales education on this show. You know, as we've done a lot of leadership, we've done a lot of vision stuff. But we haven't talked technical sales, and I think I'm excited to do a little bit of that today with you. So I'll kick us off, as we always do, have a quote to kind of theme this show. And this week's quote is that people don't know what they want until you show it to them. Steve Jobs. So I found that from the thought that I had, you know, of people don't buy. We've said this before. People don't buy what they need, or people buy what they want, not what they need. And we've specifically said that about our product, right? Final Expense is a tough product to sell, very tough, a lot of times because of the more month than money type situation that some of our clients may be in. So it's not easy to get these people over that hurdle. They've waited most of their lifetime, and now it's we got to have it, and it's not easy to buy at that point. So, Kev, I know our process is built, you know, to draw out that buy. You know, I mean, we show up and we expect an hour and a half later that we've sold a policy, we've issued it, and people aren't going to buy what they need. We've talked about the facts of the world and what happens when you pass, but they buy what they want. So how do you create a want in that home for a customer to buy something they're never going to use? You know what I mean?
Never going to see used.
Right, right.
I'm glad you said it that way, because that's the mentality you have to have is, yeah, they're not going to quote unquote use it, or they're not going to see it used, but they're definitely, it's going to be used. It's going to be used, in a much more important way than most anything else they purchase. I agree with what you say. People buy what they want. I know I buy what I want rather than what I need a lot, right?
Yep.
But speaking to Final Expense, and in particular what we do, Dave, I believe they know they need it. Like, you know, they might not tell you that, or they might not. Folks might not want to, for many different reasons, whether they're afraid they can't afford it, or they just don't want to think about dying, or think about leaving their loved ones behind. I think they know they need it, and I think it's our job to help lead them to to facing the fact that they should want it. It should be important to them. So when you ask the question, how do we move them from the, I know I need it to, hey, I want this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Something, you called me the sales guru or the sales something at the beginning. Luckily people like you and Lindsay and Glenn taught me very early on, it's not necessarily sales, it's relationship driven. So if you said, how do I move someone from a need to a want? It is 100% creating a level of trust between myself and the family I'm serving that day or sitting in front of. Because once they, and in any sales, there you have to do that, in my opinion. Now, that could look different in a lot of different sales, but in ours, Dave and Lens, as you know, we're talking about something that is most likely the most important thing at that point in their life, right? These folks are 60, 70, 80 years old. They know they're getting closer to the age of passing away. And the most important thing to them is not leaving a burden to the family. So when you create that trust by getting to know the person you're serving and becoming human, right? And build, no, I'm not their best friend in an hour by any means, but they know I'm human. They know I'm real. They know I'm genuine, right? And you only can create those things, guys, by actually being genuine and actually being real and actually listening to what they tell you. And once that trust is there, Dave, I think it's actually pretty easy to follow a simple process that we teach that will give them education on what the product does and how it's going to solve their problem. And then at that point it becomes, hey, I want to do this.
And just, I think I've said it before too. What's your thoughts on the want is that they don't want the pain passed down to their beneficiary, right? So, you know, circling conversation around that person that they want to protect. They don't want to spend the money, but they want to protect that loved one from the pain. So the beneficiary, we've said it, it's a mantra here at Orca, you know, we serve beneficiaries we'll never meet. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not serving necessarily that client we put a policy in place for. We're serving that beneficiary that we are may or may never not get the call from when they have to cash this thing in. Mm-hmm. So that's a big part of what you're doing in the home too, right?
Massive part, David. The same reason that I say they actually deep down know they need it is the same reason why they want to protect that beneficiary. And that is they at the age of 50, 60, 70 years old, you have buried a loved one. So you know the cost and the heartache that comes with it. So yes, it's when, if I was sitting with Lindsay and yourself, I would be speaking to you specifically using Locke and Lenny and Liv's name. And I'm not doing that with a sales tactic. I'm not doing that to guilt you into this. I'm simply doing that for two reasons. One, to make it real. Because at the end of the day, I'm not telling the client this, at the end of the day, you will die, you will pass away, and there will be a cost to that situation, right? So I'm, yeah, we're using the beneficiary's names, and we're also asking about Locke. I want to know about your son and your daughters. I want to know what goes on, how close you are, where do they live, all those things. And when you use those names, it makes it real.
It does. It does make it real. And, you know, when you think it, and Kevin, you had said this earlier, that they don't get to experience this product, right? It doesn't come to life until they pass. So that is a big reason as to why, you know, that conviction and really building that relationship is so important, especially in this type of sales. So yes, yes, absolutely.
It's one more quick thing on that. It is powerful in so real when you take that call from the beneficiary when somebody passes, right? I never even thought about that when I started. But when they call you, you can feel what they're, I've lost both my parents. Like I know what that feels like, right? And I know the pain they're in, but I've always said it's bittersweet to hear that, that daughter upset, distraught, crying, all the things, but then to be able to jump on the computer and make sure everything's in line and be able to tell her there's $25,000 coming next week. It's powerful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, here at Orca Life, we teach, Kevin, we teach a lot about that assumptive sales process. The assumptive sales process and the no pressure close, which is, you know, if there's listeners listening in, you know, you hear all about the close. And we at Orca really steer clear of that because it's assumptive, but we are truly assistant buyers. So what part of the process allows us to be the assistant buyers than those hard closers?
Yes. Yeah. So when I looked at that question, Lynn, you might not remember, we talked about this, you and I, last time. So I don't want to repeat what we taught last time, but you heard me say it's being assumptive is a cheat code at all things in life, right? Yeah. We talked about negotiating with your children and using, but we don't get into all that. But back to what we were just saying. So if I'm sitting with a 7-year-old couple and this, and we're going to help them with final expense. Once that trust is built, that relationship is now real. At that point, a couple things happen. The main thing is they're now going to be willing and open to listening to what it is that I can do, help them with to solve their problem. The problem that needs solving, they're going to pass away. It's going to cost money, right? They need to be prepared. So you build a relationship. Now they're open and willing to listening to me. So now here comes the very simple presentation. Our product is not complex. It is not difficult to understand. So it is a very simple process. But during that presentation, 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and then the following 10 or 15 minutes, which that 30-minute segment of the hour and a half is really, I guess, would be my or the agent's show or time to do his thing. You're assumptive, and you're assumptive because, number one, it works. I mean, flat out, it works. But assumptive meaning you're not asking, you're not stopping and saying, would this be okay for you and would this work for you? No, you're going through the material and educating them on the plans with the assumptiveness that this is happening. They're going to take care of this today because, again, I said it earlier, they're going to pass. There will be a bill. And what you, because you built the trust, they're okay with that. You're the professional, you're licensed. This is what you've done for a decade, right? And then the last part I'll say on the assumptiveness is, I don't care what type of sales you're in, whether they it's selling something they want or need, whatever. If you do the opposite of assumptiveness and you stop and wait for them to say, yes, I want it, and or wait or ask them if they want any of that, 99 of 100 times, you're going to get an objection. Whether they want it or don't want it, whether they're going to buy or not buy, that's where you open them up to say, oh, I'm going to think about it. Oh, I'm going to look elsewhere. Oh, I don't think I'm ready. I can't afford whatever. So we build the relationship and then you move through your process as if this is what I do every day, all day, because it is.
Well, and oftentimes, Kevin, to that point, they've already thought about this. They have been thinking about this. You know, if they're 50 or 60, like you said, they've already buried a loved one. So to think about that, they've already been through this. They've been thinking about this. And you're right. When you are the assistant buyer, that helps them get to the finish line, right? Protecting the ones that they love the most.
They see it every day. If you've ever watched a channel on TV that plays quote unquote to the senior market, all the old school shows, or if you're ever on the internet looking at anything that is quote unquote senior related, all you see advertisement wise is life and health insurance. It's in their face constantly. So yeah, they've lost loved ones. They see it every day. They thought about it. And hey, not every agency is the same. In our agency, we're not just out flagging people down. We're running warm leads. Warm leads meaning someone that has said, I need help with my final expenses and burial. They had absolutely thought about it more than once.
Yeah, and I think if we do our job, like you said, our presentation, it becomes our part of the show, right? We've always said that lead card is a ticket to the show. So, you know, understand when we say the show, we're talking about sitting down with a client. If we do our job and follow that process the right way, it's their show when we first get there, right? And if we as the agent do what you said, it can be hard for most of salespeople, and that's listen. Ask the right questions and listen. You figure out through that first half the whys, why they want this, why they're going to do this today, to where you've already discussed the why we're going to buy. Why are we buying today? We figured that out up front. We didn't necessarily say that's why we're buying, but we've all subconsciously been talking about that. So it comes easier after we've presented our part and bring the solution. It just flat out makes common sense for us to do this today, right?
So hang on. I'll tell you guys how crazy what you just said is. My brother pointed this out to me years ago. We would be in a home with a family just getting to know them. Zero conversation has been had about life insurance, burial, nothing, zero. We're talking for 20 minutes about them, their life, their kids, their everything. And then out of left field, the guy will be like, yeah, my brother died 6 months ago when it was $15,000 funeral, and the last thing I ever want to do is put that on my children. And that used to happen to me, and I remember being like, what? Where did this come from? And my brother pointed it out. He said, bro, they know why you're there. And 20 minutes in, something clicked in their brain, Kevin, that they decided you're a human being and they actually like and trust you. So now they felt comfortable to say, this happened. I'm glad you're here to help me. And it's happened hundreds of times to me since.
Yeah. And we say our sales process, right? Our process, our ticket to the show. But it was funny when you and I were speaking this week, you made a comment that I almost wish that we didn't refer to this process as sales.
Yeah.
And you know, that can be a total paradigm shift. So I really wanted to ask you to kind of unpack that a little bit. When you say this process, this time we spend with the family, I almost wish we didn't call it sales. What do you mean? What do you wish we would call it? Why does that make sense?
So I haven't taken enough time to figure out a different word. But no, you know, Dave, I spend a lot of my working time now interviewing people, and I mean lots and lots of people from all walks of life. And the word sales puts, or at least this is my opinion, when you hear someone's in sales or you're going to do sales, it puts people in a mindset of you're persuading people to buy what you have. You're talking them into it. You're hard closing them, right? You're telling them why your product has better features than the competitor. Newsflash, I can't think of a product that's out there today in any market that doesn't have a competitor that is pretty much the same. Ryan. So the word sales, I feel people go to. Even when you said at the beginning of the call, you called me something, sales guru or sales mac, and I'm thinking, golly, man, that sounds terrible, because now I think too many people are thinking, oh, this means this guy can persuade me to do whatever it is he wants to do. And that is so far from the truth, in my opinion, right? Yeah. So So we talked about it on Monday, I think, on the call we do for all of Orca Life. If you're selling somebody something they want, guys, I think you do have to persuade them. Right. If I'm buying a pair of Nike tennis shoes and you're the shoe salesman, you need to persuade me why these blue ones instead of these red ones or something. Right. But if your service, let's use that word, if my service is to help solve a problem that is an actual real need, there is no persuasion, not meaning it sells itself, meaning I've been guilty of painting myself in a corner with a family where I was having to try to persuade them to purchase this policy. That never ends well. They either don't buy or they buy and cancel next week, one or the other, right? So the reason I said that, Dave, is it's simply what we already talked about. It is literally building a level of trust with the client. And again, that level could be different depending on the product, right? If I'm helping you with final expense, I think there probably needs to be a little bit higher level of trust than if you're selling me a new internet package, right? But either way, I need to at least feel comfortable with the person I'm purchasing from. And once you do that, now it is not persuasion. It's simply educating them and letting them know you're going to help solve their problem, and then them being able to know Kevin will be here to facilitate my family's needs and walk this thing to the finish line when I do pass, right? I hope that answered the question.
No, that makes sense. I mean, it makes sense, you know, as you say that, right? Persuasion. Or I even was thinking, you know, that maybe the negative connotation is manipulation. You know, a salesman is a manipulator. And I guess, like you said, presenting our product is not one that you have to manipulate people into, because it has such a viable, real need in the market and in the real world, right? We pass. Yes, we've created a bill. So makes total sense why you could feel that way.
If you study the top producers over the years, and I know you two have, I know I have. If you watch the guys and girls that are at the top of their game, it's funny. If you really pay attention, you watch them come in year one and they're persuading and convincing or manipulating even. I know, man, that's an ugly word, but it's a real one. And they're not doing it because they're not good people. They're doing it, I think, number one, because that's what you think you're supposed to do when you sell. Sure. And number two, it's kind of natural to them. Man, I manipulated everything as a child. David knows that, right? It was a skill, whatever. But it didn't come from a bad place in these agents' heart. But then what happens by year two, year three, year five? It's unbelievable the mindset shift that happens for them to where they're no longer persuading anyone. They're just loving on people and being very real with them and letting them know they're there to solve that problem. And guess what? Their life and career, the stress level is so much lower than it was when they were out there persuading everyone to buy insurance, right? But it takes time to progress through that and learn that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, when you think about year one to year five, like how much more comfortable you are in the home, building those relationships, that does breed comfortability, because I've knocked on this door 1,000 times. And so just getting in there and being real and being authentic, you know, that really is what I feel sets us apart as far as our sales model and our system. So, Kevin, let me ask you, as far as Orca Life, what do you think the greatest sales principle that you've learned at this point through Orca?
So we already spoke to assumptiveness, right? We already spoke to relationship driven and building trust. Those, as far as like in-home sales, those two things are at the top of the list. So I don't want to repeat myself there, but the most important thing is outside of, for our business at least, is outside of the home. What are you doing in between sales, and what are you doing when you're not actually presenting? So the greatest principle, two, and they kind of intertwine, mental toughness, you know, mental fortitude, whatever you want to call it, and resourcefulness. Those two things are maybe the most valuable things that people like you two and Glenn taught me. So you know, mental toughness, grit, the ability to keep going, because man, we can keep calling it sales, whatever y'all want to call, full commission, entrepreneurship, whatever word you want to throw out there. When your family gets fed, when you produce, the mental game is 90% of why you succeed or not. It is so daggone difficult at times. So how do you, people would then ask, okay, Kev, well, what can I do to create that mental toughness, and that grit when times are tough out there? Cause guess what? They're going to be tough. First and foremost, I think it comes natural to somebody who has a desire for more. Mm-hmm. I think it comes natural for somebody who says, hey, I'm working this job paying me $30 an hour, but I know I'm worth way more than that. And I just need a lane. Put me in a place where I can prove my worth and earn my worth and feed my family different than I am at $30 an hour, right? If you have that already, I think that you immediately have a leg up on staying mentally tough or having the grit to keep going. And then, you know, actual practices or tactical ways, I would tell you, what are you feeding your brain? Mm-hmm. What are you listening to? Are you listening to something that's growing you and teaching you? Or are you listening to the news that's negative all the time? Because what we all know it, what goes in comes out, right? So what are you listening to? Are you coachable, right? Kevin, I am 100% guilty of, my ego was very much in the way when I started, and I didn't want to hear Glenn and I didn't want to believe Glenn. And I thought Glenn was crazy and telling me just whatever I wanted to hear maybe. Or so you've got to set your ego aside and understand this guy or girl that's helping you's been doing it a lot longer. Listen to them, right? So you got to be coachable. And then to tie in with the ego part, lean on your team. Cannot do it alone. I've never seen anyone do it. And we've got some really tough people, talented people, but there's going to be a time where I got to call Lindsay and say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. And I want to complain, or please tell me it's going to be okay. Whatever you need, you got to lean on those folks. And when you do those things, it is so much easier to fight when the adversity hits you in the face, because it's gonna, right? Something I've been saying for maybe a year now, the thing that I love so much about our business is it does not discriminate. Ever. If you work the hardest, you win the most. If you're the laziest, you lose the most. It doesn't discriminate if you are really, really good in year one or you're average in year one. Your adversity's hitting you in the face. I don't care who you are. Like, there's things we know are going to happen. So you've got to be prepared for them, and you got to be ready to fight through them with that mental toughness. And then the last piece I'll hit on, resourcefulness. You know, that we could go on a million ways about that, but resourcefulness to me is just the willingness to do whatever it takes to get the result that you need. I've said it forever. I think Glenn Crabtree, Nick Davis, they're on a level of that I've never seen. Like, they will die trying, you know what I mean? But a lot of us have massive resourcefulness where we're willing to do and try anything until we get the result we want. And guys, what happens when you do that, when you fight through it all, and you will do anything to get the result you need and want, once you've done that and you truly believe that you're resourceful and you'll do anything it takes, you create a confidence that is unshakable at that point. And the next adversity is easier and the next one's easier, right? So those are two big things for me.
That's so true. I mean, when you think about that, Kevin, 90% is mental, 10% is physical, but it is this, especially in this business, it is 90% mental. And being aware, Glenn used to always say this is, you know, keep your blinders on, right? Stay focused on what it is that you want to accomplish. Because if you're letting all these outside forces, whether that be your family that maybe not fully understand exactly what it is that you're out there doing on the road for 3 days a week, or, you know, maybe some friends that don't fully understand, like staying focused on what your vision is for your future. Because if this thing gets sideways, I mean, it's a roller coaster.
Yeah, it's over. You might as well wrap it up. You know what I mean? I mean, we've seen it happen too many times. We all are going to have outside noise and problems. Trey said it a while back and I laughed, but it was so real. He said, he's like, hey, look, we all have problems. Life happens to all of us. And he said, I know your biggest problem or the biggest problems are your problems. Right. Like my home life problems are the biggest problems in my eyes. They're worse than David and Lindsay's because I'm living it. Right. So it's going to happen. But that's when it depends on who are you leaning on? Who are you talking to? What are you reading? What are you listening to? Where's your faith? I mean, there's those things you can control. So they prep you. You already said adversity's coming. So they prep you and now all of a sudden, boom, you're ready. You're good. You can handle it.
Yeah. And I'll make it bigger for you and I'll make you like this even more than maybe the way we framed that up to start with. And the principles you speak to, they're not sales principles, right? I would say what you just taught on are life principles. And that is, and especially in an entrepreneurial position where, like you said, my ability to feed, my ability to win sits only on me. It doesn't matter that I'm here to show up and clock in and I'm physically present. I've got to go out and execute to turn that into being able to feed my family, right? So it was Chase last week. You guys can tune back into Chase's show last week on coachability. Right. Coachability is such a big deal. You talk about what are you listening to? Well, if you're not coachable or if your ego's in the way, you're not willing to listen to anything because you think you've already got it figured out. So I just love, I will frame that up as those are not just sales principles. Those are principles of success. And, you know, we were on a call this past week where Brandon Clay referenced, you know, like we as human beings, our brains are lazy. Our brains like comfortability. We love living in this space where we feel comfortable. We know that what we do for a living puts us outside of our comfort zone on a daily basis. So I like how he referenced, you know, James Clear in Atomic Habits and, you know, the saying that you will not rise to the level of your goal or motivation, but you will fall to the level of your systems. And I think you can roll that into your resourcefulness and what you say about what are you doing outside of the home? And that comes to discipline, right? I've learned a lot lately about the keys to sales, life, me with a past of golf. You know, you talk about mental, it's the same thing everywhere you go. You can say our job is 90% mental. Life is 90% mental. The ones that are winning, Scottie Scheffler, that is paving a path similar to what Tiger Woods did. Now, can he do that for 20 more years? But it's a mental game that the ones at the top are always playing and winning the best at. And it's their discipline. It's their habits. It's not how they feel. It's what they know they need to show up and do every day. And they get good and consistent at doing that. And maybe that answers what I wanted to kind of ask you just as we wrap this up, because it kind of blows me away a little bit. And maybe it's just not an apple to apple type of comparison, but, you know, we always have said our Orca agent, and who writes, you know, $3,500 to $4,000 in premium per week, is doing twice what a national average final expense producer goes out and does, $1,700 to $2,000. I was going to ask you why you thought that was for us. What do you think it is that we're doing at Orca that produces twice as much as what maybe other people are out there doing it at?
Yeah. So without you and I really having any, like, a real prep meeting, you just answered some of it. That's pretty cool. We're always aligned. So, yeah, our agents are doing average agent doing $4,000 week in and week out, man. It's a big, big deal in our business, right? And guess what else? We're doing it in a lot of times, we're doing it in half the time that others are, which is crazy, right? So there's so much that goes into answering that question that I won't get on. There's a ton of small things, babe. We already spoke to, you know, in the home, the things we're actually teaching, the building relationship and the assumptive and all those things. But the reason our, in my opinion, and I believe it with my heart, actually, the reason our agents are doubling the industry average is it comes down to, number one, we do everything in our power to make sure you're the right person before you get here. If we don't think you're the right person, we're not going to bring you in and partner with you. And that's not us being selfish. That's actually us looking out for you, because we know how hard this thing is, right? Yeah. So now, David, you find the right person, and Lindsay, you know this, but now you got to have the right business model, mm-hmm, and the right system. If you don't have that, Dave, we could hire you tomorrow. You could be the best, the most talented in the world. But if you don't have the right business model and system, you're not going to be great, right? And then the third part is like, I'm going to call it a real culture, because I don't like the word sales, I don't like how the word culture gets thrown around all the time. People tout this culture that oftentimes is not what they say it is. So when you talk about the right person, we got them. Now, what's the right business model, Dave? That is a business model that is going to allow this thoroughbred superstar who wants to be paid their worth and wants to earn more than what they're earning where they were before they got here. The business model puts them in a place to be efficient and effective when they're working, right? That's why we're able to do it. That's why these guys hit these numbers in 3 days, just blow people's minds, right? So putting them in front of the right people, putting them in a position where they can bust their tail for 3 or 4 days a week and really, really help a lot of families. And then training, the training, obviously, we got to train them to what works, not persuading people, not order taking, building a relationship and solving a problem, right? And then the last part of that training that we could actually do a whole call on is helping teach an agent how to approach your business. Mm. Like, literally, how do you prep? What are you doing to get better and set yourself up, right? Because what that model, that if we're going to just encompass it all in one, Dave and Lens, what I think we have done a phenomenal job at as a whole group, and it just keeps getting better, we have put agents in a place to where they can control all of the controllables. We help teach them all these little things that eventually become habits. And then at that point, if you got all your habits and you're controlling everything that you actually can control, then all you have to do is plug and play. But the hard part is when you go out there and you play, it's still going to get difficult. So I'm controlling all the controls. Now, the uncontrollable things are 90% mental, keeping your head on straight. But if we've created this space where they can really set themselves up to win in that business model, right? And then the culture I'll hit on, man, I said it, everybody preaches it. I'll be honest, whenever I interview and we get to the last interview and it's time that we offer that person and we decide we want to partner with them, I hit on the culture a little, but I literally tell them, guys, I'm not going to pipe this culture up to be something that that you've heard before. You're going to witness it. And 2-3 weeks from now, you're going to call me and say, dude, this is crazy. I've never experienced this. And here's what I want to say on the culture. Guys, Dave and Lynn's, when you're a husband and wife or a son and daughter or brother and sister, like real loving family, what grows that love is you all went through hard times. I love my sister so much, but that love would not be as strong if me and her didn't have 40 years of, we've had some stuff. We all have, right? We fought through things together. We fought with each other, but that's when growth happens, right? So when you have this culture of 8-10 guys and girls, you know, out there fighting these adversities we talked about together and then winning together, that is when real, true culture happens. And then the last part of it that we all probably spoke on it before, but I don't see it very many places, if any. When the culture surrounding you is, I will help you every time you need help, even if I don't profit any money. When Alex helps someone who Alex isn't technically making money with, like think about the volumes that speaks, right? So if Alex helps David in a tough time in the business, what do you think David's going to do when John is out there with him and needs help? He's going to do the same because it's so meaningful. So man, it's so real. And then one more thing on the culture. I know I'm going here, but we're truth telling. Like we do not sell a pipe dream to these agents before they get here. Matter of fact, I personally, Lindsay knows this. I do the opposite. I try to run them off. I try to tell them how bad this is and how hard it is, how bad this sucks. Keep my language. But what I'm doing there is two things. One, I want to make sure you really, truly do want more than you're getting right now, because I know you're going to be tested. But then I say, look, once you lock arms in this culture with these guys and girls and you really, truly want more and you fight through all this, this is what it's going to be. Right. And the right person will do that. Right. So we're truth telling on it's not going to be simple all the time. And I think that is powerful when I'm on Zoom with a gentleman from Missouri who has a wife and three kids from Omer, Iowa, you know, 8-9 hours from me. We've never met in person, and he's ready. He's got to trust me enough to say, yeah, I'm ready to go into a full commission job and travel to 2-3 days a week away from my children and all that. When you tell the truth and you're honest, I think that builds an early bond. And then the last part of the telling the truth, when they find out it is true, right? How many times have we interviewed someone that when we ask them, why are they looking to make a career move? They say, well, I was told one thing, but 3 months later, it was not what they told me. No way. You lost that business and leadership has lost that person's trust. So long answer, man, but that's so important to me, those stems to build that real culture.
Well,
no, you're right.
I was just going to say one thing. Sorry, Lindsay, and then I'll let you wrap this up. To put a bow on it, right? You mentioned it earlier, too. Life principle, greatest principles you've learned. It's circle of influence, who's around you. And I love how John Maxwell says, culture is not what you say, it is who you are. And we've built these principles of a true servant leader that if I heard you say we one time, I heard you say we 50 times in your explanation as to why an Orca agent can succeed twice the average that's out there in the industry. And it's not because the Orca agent has anything, any better opportunity. It's because the Orca agent has somebody that's been there, done that, right alongside of them, going along, and we are winning. And it really is easier said than done, but it's a beautiful thing for to watch a new person experience that they don't get to experience that everywhere. So you really tied all that into to success. When we're going together, we are much more successful than when anybody is doing that on their own.
Absolutely. And to Kevin's point, he's the truth telling aspect of it is so important. And, you know, how many of those calls or interviews have we been on where it's unfulfilled promises that other agents might have had, other employees have had. And when you share the truth and what it really looks like, that's where they really get to see it. So I love that. Kevin, thank you so much for today. So excited that you've been on again. And I know that there's many that will gain so much from your sharing and your knowledge. So again, thank you to all of our Hype listeners, and we will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.